Join the chorus. It's time for another North Melbourne Footy Club update with Dean Vasek and special guests on Hashtag Kangaroos.
Welcome to another episode. So today I'm doing a round one preview of the AFLW North Melbourne team versus Geelong coming up this Saturday. So I did end up getting Tyler back again. He did a season preview a couple months back now for this upcoming season. I got him back this week to talk about our game against Geelong and his thoughts and predictions and what to look out for. So I won't hold you up anymore. I'll get Tyler on right now.
All right, so I'm joined here by Tyler for an AFLW preview game against Geelong this Saturday, which has crept up on us. So Tyler, what are your thoughts and expectations for the team going against the Cats this week?
Well, I think the first thing that I probably should preface it all with is just outlining what the sort of protocols are for whether a game or will not go ahead, because as we know, the way the world is, there's certain obstacles that might come up in preventing that happening. But for anyone who's not aware, just the basic outline of how things work, each AFLW squad is made up of 30 players, 30 contracted players, and then there's also the 10 train-on players that aren't contracted, but they can be called up in certain circumstances. And the thing is, this year, of course, whether a game goes ahead or not will depend on if the team has 16 of 30 of their 30 contracted players and 5 of their 10 train-on players available. Yeah. If they do, that's 21 players available. And then that's enough. The show goes on. So yeah. Obviously what that means is we're talking about what could happen on Saturday here on a Monday afternoon. And really, what we don't know is that possibly 14 players who aren't considered best 21 could end up actually playing on Saturday afternoon, and we're none the wiser about it at the moment. So I think that's just something that we have to sort of keep in mind. But
yeah, 100%.
Hopefully not worry about it too much, but if it comes up, then just roll with the punches. But other than that, you know, we'll just see what happens. But, of course, other teams have to deal with the exact same things as well. Yeah. And specifically relating to Geelong, obviously we've played them twice in the last 2 years and had a couple of handy victories pretty convincingly. But they've had quite a few changes, whereas we're a bit more stable. So we're a bit more of the unknown. I expect North Melbourne to sort of bring what we've seen for the last 3 years now. And Geelong's a bit of a mystery, but I did get to see their practice match at least a couple of weeks ago. So they're still a little bit of an unknown.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I suppose that's they're always the danger games, aren't they? Because you sort of don't know. I mean, they could come out firing, or they could be the complete opposite, and you could get quite a handy victory. And round one games, like, I mean, I've seen in the AFL, like, there's usually a few upsets. Like, you generally see Gold Coast start the season off pretty well. Last few years, they usually win three of their first four, and then they just they pretty much struggle after that, after they get a couple of injuries. Yeah. So, anything could happen, but we're certainly hoping for the latter that they will struggle. But I suppose we can only control what we're capable of, and we look quite sharp a couple of weeks ago against the Bulldogs. So I guess time will tell on Saturday around 5:10. But another thing is with AFLW, I mean, there's only like 10 or so rounds, so you can't really afford to. Yeah, you know, every game's really important. Like, you can't really afford to, you know, start off slow. First three games were 1-2. You know, it puts you a fair way behind the eight ball, doesn't it? So,
that's right. And this team has never really, as always, haven't really had an issue with that. They did have that round one loss to Melbourne, but even so, they were still pretty much on the ball, and it was just more of a matchup thing.
Yeah.
And so they've always come out firing.
Which we're certainly hoping for. And yeah, like I said, a couple of weeks ago against Bulldogs, they look really sharp and they look switched on. But who knows over the Christmas period what the girls have been doing and eating and all that sort of thing. And so, yeah, we're certainly hoping they don't come out flat. So which players outside of the obvious, like you got Garners and Ashmores and, you know, even Carney and so forth, which players you reckon you might expect a big game from that a lot of people might not know of?
Well, if we go back to round one last year against Geelong, of course, the Cats put a lot of emphasis on trying to stop Garner, and even though that didn't work, she was still pretty busy and pretty productive. But it did allow a player like Ali Gabalis to really run free and have a lot of space and time when she got the ball and got plenty of it, got about 20 touches and kicked 3 goals. So for her, that's probably certainly very much at the front of her mind. Whenever you have a lot of success like that, that's always going to pop up when you come up against the same team. So she'd be an obvious one. But also, I was thinking about Kim Rennie in her first game. What we assume that she's going to play in her first game, and for North Melbourne coming over from the Bulldogs. And Geelong really don't have a sort of a formidable opponent to put in the ruck. And so it's going to be a great opportunity for her, I think, to sort of stamp herself into the North Melbourne team and show what she's capable of. Other than that, I'd say just pretty much all the forwards, whether it's Sophia Petangelo or Daisy Bateman, or maybe even it could be Mia King or Isabella Eddy, if they, or Daria Bannister, however much time in the forward line they get. Obviously, the test will be to see how much, how hungry they are, and you know how much pressuring they're able to do of the ball carrier, and converting whatever chances they do get. Obviously, we're hoping that they do get a lot of chances, but those are probably the key areas, I think, for looking beyond the sort of superstars.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there's been looking at blogs and so forth, especially on Big Footy, there's been a lot of talk about Daisy Bateman, that she might be a player that's going to really step up this year. Do you see that happening as well?
Yeah, well, I think this is her third year, because I think gradually the progression has been sort of evident. Just what I tend to notice a lot is just when a player finds himself in a sticky situation, has to be clean with the ball and find a quick target and does it consistently. And even if not a lot, but every time she finds herself in that situation, manages to produce something. And I definitely saw that progression last year, where just a quick moment here or there. And I think all signs seem to be pointing to the fact that she's coming along in that area, and that just builds confidence, I think. And again, with her third year, she's probably stepping up fitness and everything, and that's all good signs, I think.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, no, she's I think she's just turned 21. I think.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so I think she's probably at that stage of her career, like you said, three years into the system, that she's probably a player that can really step up and cause some damage. So which Geelong players should we look out for that you believe can cause us damage?
Well, I think there's probably three obvious names to mention, and they're all pretty young as well. Two of them new to the club. Chloe Shears come over from Adelaide. She's quite a good user of the ball, very long kick, powerful kick, and really skillful, and typically has been used as a forward to date, but showed last year that she can go into the midfield. However, in the practice match, she was used pretty much as a permanent forward against Richmond a couple of weeks ago, and I think for any team coming up against Geelong, that's pretty good, because I think the less influence, the less involved she's going to be in the game. It's going to make North Melbourne's job a lot easier, I think, if she's not going to be at the stoppages and everything like that. Because as two of the other players that I'm about to mention probably will be. One of those, Georgi Prasparkas, first year, first game it will be for on Saturday. Obviously, high draft pick, a lot of it being expected of her. And what I saw of her the couple of weeks ago was pretty busy and did get a fair bit of attention from the opposition, which I probably expect to see again on the weekend. But yeah, she's probably going to be a lot better than any average sort of 18-year-old should be, but at the same time, going to be hard to live up to expectations. And then the third one is Nina Morrison, who's been in the league for 3 years, but technically has only played about one due to injury. And she's probably seems to be good to go as far as fitness and everything. And again, probably the combination of the two former players that I mentioned in terms of able to get the ball, but also able to use the ball really well. And so she'd be the number one threat, number one target for North Melbourne to think about. And if you go back to March 2020, when we played them that Friday night game, it was a pretty tight match for halfway through it until she got injured and did a ACL for the second time. And then we sort of pulled away, which I think we were probably going to win that game anyway. But once she got injured, it was really a one-way traffic, and we blew them out at that point. So those would be the three real targets to think about for North Melbourne, especially compared to when we played them last year, which I think it'll make for quite a different-looking Geelong team, even though early days they may not actually be able to put it all onto the park at the same time in terms of effectiveness and cohesion and all that sort of thing.
Yeah, for sure. I think with Morris, I'm not too sure if she's going to be playing this week. Apparently, she's still recovering from the ACL because I think it was March last year she did it, wasn't it? So, yeah.
Yeah, well, no, it was March 2020. But
yeah,
the thing is they've been very cautious about bringing it back. So she did play in the practice match, but again, nothing would surprise me in terms of how careful they're going to be, because that was her second ACL. So it's like, and their number one draft pick from when they came into the competition. There's definitely no guarantee there.
We'll see what happens. So it looks like Emma Carney's going into the back line, onto the halfback flank this year. Do you think that's a good move? Is that just a case of having too much depth in the midfield and they've sort of, a few other players coming through that they probably just want to push it back there a bit?
Yeah, well, possibly. I mean, the thing about, obviously, where the competition is at, I mean, I don't know to what degree she's going to play in what position, what the mix is going to be, but suppose that that does happen, more time in the back line for Emma Carney, then the thing that we have to remember is that we've got Essendon, Hawthorn, and Port Adelaide, Sydney coming in next year. And so players who are sort of, the fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, or eighth best midfielder like we have, we're talking about players like Ali Gavalis and, Mia Kigg and those types who will be getting offers to join other clubs, and the guarantee will be, and you can be 100% full-time midfielder. Whereas, obviously, at this stage, if we're going to play Carney, Garner, Bruden, Riddle as our number one midfield unit all the time and starve the other players of opportunity, then that makes it a little more enticing for them to look elsewhere. But possibly one of the reasons to, tinker with somebody like Carney would be to give those other players more opportunity and feel like, they're valued and they're getting the best out of themselves. And there could be other reasons as well to it. From a more attacking perspective, the thing you have to remember is that a lot of teams won't play their five forwards against us. They'll push their wingers back and they'll also push their half forwards further down the ground as well, which would allow a half back on our team to be very counter-attacking, very aggressive, pick up a lot of the ball and then drive that drive themselves through the midfield. So even if Carney or whoever it is going to play a lot of time down back, that's still, I can see it as being a sort of an attacking move.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. I mean, and this day and age, like we see in AFL, like a lot of teams rely on their transition football from the back line. And I think that's a perfect role for her in the regards that she does. She's a very good user of a football. Look, we all know how classy she is with the football, how skillful she is, and make smart decisions. And she could be a leader in the back line as well. And like you said, she's probably going to be pushing up the ground a bit. So a lot of her possessions probably be coming on the wing through the midfield anyway, going for the inside 50s. So,
yeah.
I mean, it's almost like an extra midfielder these days anyway, the attacking halfback flanker in a way. So, yeah, no, I think so. Yeah, and she looked pretty good. And she looked pretty good against the Bulldogs a few weeks ago too, playing that role. So certainly a general of defence. So, probably, yeah, it's like you said. I mean, it could be given opportunities to other players because other teams are coming into competition next year who are, you know, got all this free space, and you know, that they might offer them, you know, better opportunities, like someone like a Daisy Bateman or something. They might say, "Look, we see a midfielder like Essendon could come in, and yeah, we'll take her, and here's your opportunity. We'll put your vice captain or something like that." And yeah, so it's
That's right. And we have no control over that except to make being at North Melbourne as you know, as satisfying and as rewarding as possible. So I think that's what we're possibly seeing there. And the other thing I might just mention about the back line is obviously regarding Jess Duffin, who probably is our sort of best user at the back line. And, well, I think we've got to sort of not try to place too much expectations on her. Probably just sharing the load a bit and adding some experience down there as well. That's probably going to maybe very useful as the season goes on. We'll see how that happens. But
yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, you can always try it. And worst case scenario, if the midfield's struggling, she can always push in there. But I think that's probably your main strength, the midfield anyway. So, yeah, it's quite strong and there's quite a lot of depth there. So it only makes more sense for her to go there. And, yeah, she can always move back into the midfield in case of emergency. So you expect any of the first-year players to make their debut on Saturday, the ones drafted?
Yes, well, pretty much all up to date, we've always given our top draft pick a game from the get-go. So that would be Bateman and Gavalis and Eddie in the past 3 years. And obviously this year it would be Tess Craven. So, I mean, if she does miss out, she'll be pretty stiff. And I think in terms of the other ones, maybe as the season goes on, but we also got drafted somebody like Jasmine Ferguson of Collingwood's VFLW team to play down back. So that could... she's more of a tall defender and mid-sized tall defender. That might free a spot up to move somebody back like Carney. Even tinker with a couple of other positions, but it's hard for me to pick. I mean, there's also Perry King from Tasmania. I'm not sure if she's going to be an instant inclusion, but certainly expect her to get a game within, you know, a few weeks. Depending on how things go. And obviously, and the other disclaimer, as I mentioned before, was that we really could be all of them for all we know.
That's right, 100%. We could have a bunch of our first-year players playing for us on Saturday and, plus a number of other unknowns, really. So, just from the scrap heap that could be playing. So, I mean, this is – I'm obviously looking at this at an optimistic point of view that the best 22 from everyone's going to play every week, but no, it doesn't always work like that. So, I mean, I think a few of them will definitely, like Tess Graven, will definitely get a game this year at some point. But I'll assume she gets picked on Saturday. So, we'll...
tough team to get picked in, so anyone who does it, they definitely deserve it, and hopefully it all works out for them.
Yeah, 100%. So, definitely... Yeah, look forward to seeing the team news this week, later in the week. What sort of game do you expect it to be? Do you expect it to be free flowing, or do you expect it to be more of a contested, slow paced game? Chipping around.
Well, from North Melbourne's perspective, I think we know what to expect. But Geelong is sort of it's a bit of a 50-50. There's definitely probably going to be more. I think the word is pressure. I think it's probably fair to say to be more attacking and trying to score more. Well, they've just had their a new coach appointed, and after their original coach was moved on, and in their first 3 seasons, Geelong, I think they scored 40 points twice in a game, whereas North Melbourne have averaged 40 points a game every year, the only team to do it in the competition. So there's probably, if we expect the typical from what has been in previous years, then it's going to be a slow and contested sort of slogfest. But we might see, at least to begin with, or maybe at some stage, Geelong try to be more aggressive, try to open up a little bit, and then roll the dice and see what happens from there. But again, it goes back to sort of round one, how cohesive and how a team is actually going to execute what the coach wants to do anyway. So I think it'll be a little bit messy at times, either by design or by just by accident. But for the most part, what we should expect is really the game to depend on the stoppages. And if North Melbourne get on top in that area, then we should really be dominant on the scoreboard. But it's not the same sort of Geelong, I don't think, as last year. So what if we go long stretches without sort of putting anything on the scoreboard? I don't think it's a major disaster or anything compared to what it would have been last year, where we it was the clearly Geelong weren't even able to compete in the midfield, and then we were able to blow them out. So I think a little bit of patience will be the key this time around. And then it might break open as the game goes on, I think.
Definitely. I think, I think I expect probably the first half to be a bit more of a contested game, and then open up more in the second half, which tends to happen when teams get a bit more tired from, all the tackles and contested work, and then it just ends up opening up. And that's where I expect us to, I think, first half will be a fairly even contest, I'm expecting, only because it's round one too, because there's a lot of unknowns. And then second half, I think I'm hoping anyway, we blow them away. But I have been wrong before, so we'll see how we go. So yeah. So what's I'll this last one, I'll give it to you. What do you expect the final prediction to be?
I'll say I think you pretty much summed it up there as far as one half will be closer than one half. Hopefully a bit more going our way, one way traffic. So if that's the case, then I'd expect 4 to 5 goals for North Melbourne. But what I'll stress the point that if things go to plan for Geelong, they'll be much better. And even if we play at our normal as expected, then it shouldn't be a complete blowout, and that's okay, because they've got a lot of good young players in that team who it could be sort of like the game that we played against St Kilda last year, or go back to the Gold Coast a couple of years earlier, where they were able to compete for a certain amount of time, and that was okay because we were able to stick to the course. And even though we didn't completely blow the game out, that's as long as they're building towards week by week, then I think that's all we can really ask for at this stage.
I mean, at the end of the day, as long as we get the 4 points this week and get us off to a 1-0 start, that's the most important thing. It doesn't matter if it's an ugly game and win by 3 points or anything like that, as long as
No.
you can get the ball rolling in the right direction. Because round one is always a bit iffy sometimes, so you do always get the odd upset here and there. So we're certainly not hoping for that this week. So we'll see how we go. And like you said, there could be a we could get Garner, Ashmore, and Carney, and yes. Daisy Bateman could all get COVID and then they don't play. So that's that levels are there a lot in terms of talent as well. So we'll we'll see how we go. Anyways, well, Tyler, where can people find you and talk to you about AFLW?
Well, I pretty much do any sort of discussion or writing I have to say about the footy is always going to be at Big Footy. I Teen Wolf, my username, and generally I will do as much posting about it during the season as it goes. And if anyone wants to have a chat on there, I'll be happy to talk about any of the games. I watch not just North Melbourne, but I watch as much of the other games as possible as well. So that's hopefully it's a good season and everything goes okay. And plenty to talk about, hopefully.
Yeah, I mean, there's cause for optimism, I suppose, in the regards to it makes you a bit nervous that with all this COVID that's going around, that there will be teams affected by it. And certainly games, may even be postponed. I'm not too sure. So, I mean, we're seeing that a lot overseas with English Premier League teams cancelling games, NBA games, NFL teams struggling as well. So, yeah, we're certainly not hoping for that same impact here, but we can't promise anything, can we?
No, and the protocols may change as well. They may end up being more lenient for you know, or they may end up being stricter, and then things do get postponed. But I think as it is now, it's just something will come up, but the question is how to what degree. And then, in the meantime, I think I'm just going to try and not worry about it.
And that's the best way to be, and just take each day as it comes. That's all we can do, and just control what we can control at the end of the day. That's the main message out of that. So, we'll see how we go. Anyways, Tyler, thanks very much for coming on and previewing the round one game against Geelong. Hopefully we can get the win. And, sure I'll chat to you during the course of the season as well.
No worries, Dean. Thanks for having me. And, good luck with covering everything throughout the year. And,
No, definitely. Thank you. Thanks for the kind words, Tyler. I appreciate it.
No worries, Dean. Good on you.
So that was Tyler. So, we talked about a number of things, but like you said, hopefully we don't get too many issues with COVID coming up this week. We're certainly hoping for a best 22 from both teams coming up on Saturday. It's supposed to be a great day, weather-wise. It's supposed to be this early stage. I mean, I'm talking here on a Monday evening. So, I think it's supposed to be 21 degrees, so it might be about a cool 18, 19 degrees at Arden Street later in the afternoon, which will be good. Good to watch footy. Definitely try and get down. I will be going down myself. I'm not too sure where I'll be sitting or anything like that, but I'll certainly probably tweet out where I will be sitting, and feel free to come and say hi to me. I'll be with my kids at this stage, so that might be interesting. But definitely looking forward to it. It should be a very good game, as me and Tyler talked about. So, definitely try and get down if you can. I mean, but at least watch them on TV, and it'll be on Foxtel. So, definitely give the girls a good shout-out and a good support this year as well. They definitely deserve it. So, we obviously want to promote AFLW, and this is one way of doing it and a good way of doing it. So, don't forget to give me a follow at #Kangas, not #Kangaroos, #Kangas. Feel free to send me a comment or a message or whatever you want to do and talk about AFLW or AFL in general. And that's about it. Don't forget to give this show a like and subscribe on the Apple Store. And, I'll probably do another show later in the week and, might even touch on the AFLW just a little bit more as well, just leading up to the game. Anyways, that'll do me for today. Today's shout-out I will give to Winston Abraham. Bye for now.